For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so to me, my brethren, he is speaking here of the prophecy beginning with in the very morning of time, the prophecy that was prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and what glorious and wonderful things should be manifested concerning him throughout the ages. Because the Old Testament, you know, are testifying of Jesus. They're showing forth Jesus. And for that reason, Jesus said unto those Pharisees there, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. So all the Old Testament Scriptures, when understood by the teaching and the light of the Spirit of our God, the children of God are made to realize that they testify of Jesus. So the more sure a word of prophecy are the things that God enabled his servants of old to pen down, to leave upon record for us. And these all testify of his glory that should be accomplished in the latter day. So, my brethren, briefly, I say to you that the more sure word of prophecy, that is a word that had been spoken from the beginning, the things that have been left upon record for us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, these are more sure words of prophecy, because I might say this, you can think about it, there were only John the Baptist saw this and heard this voice. I don't know that anybody else did, but anyhow, it was an isolated occasion, but it suited John the Baptist and also the three, Peter, James, and John, that was with the Savior in the Mount. They heard that we might say was an isolated case, but it was laid upon record for us. But these things that God enabled holy men of old to write as he moved and brethren there with us. And they are a living testimony to this very day. And all the prophets, beginning from Moses on down through David and on down through Isaiah and all the rest, they testify of Jesus. They testify of the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that in the words of Isaiah, remember, he said, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak unto them comfortably, and declare unto them that the warfare is accomplished, that they have received at the Lord's hand double for all their iniquities. And so you see, that is the very thing that is declared by all the prophets, forecasting or foretelling or prophesying of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have, to some little degree at least, I have searched and noticed, particularly through in the reading of the Old Testament, I've never found there was a single prophecy that was prophesied or recorded there that did not come to pass, that was not fulfilled perfectly and completely by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not a single one. And so these are more sure words of prophecy because they are opened up by the Spirit of God into the hearts of his people as they're given to read and given to understand that they spake not to themselves, but rather spake of he who should come, the one that the Father had given, who should come here as the Savior of his people. And so, my brethren, I hope that you have been enabled to present these things in such a way that you will see that the things of the gospel are not cunningly devised fables, not being blown about by every wind of doctrine to the thousands of doctrines in the world, but there's only one true and living gospel, one true and living God, and these are the things that he, God himself, has delivered unto his saints. And whenever men deliver, whenever men make them over, or add to them, or take away from them, they're just taking that much of what God himself has declared, and just that far, they are preaching and contending for another gospel. And brethren, you know full well that you can't stand to hear somebody talking in your presence. You can't stand to hear them denying the God that brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now, denying the way he brought you, the marvelous things that he did for you. Oh, it makes you, doesn't it make you just want to get up and shout, and that's not the truth. He did this for me, and it is not some vain imagination. I've tried to think back sometimes, my brethren, that evening, that morning, early in the morning, when there came such a peace to me, I've tried to make myself believe sometimes that was just a vain imagination, just something that I thought of, just as my carnal mind. But brethren, you know, that's the only thing sometimes when I'm down deep in despair and wondering, as I began to say today, wondering whether I know anything about it or not. Somehow or the other, it may not be this way with all of you, but somehow or the other, when I get to the place that it seems God is fleet, gone forever, then I remember, yes, it's brought to my attention again, what a glorious and wonderful thing it was when he came down to where I was, a poor sinner begging for mercy and having no thought at all that God could have pity upon a soul, poor sinner as I was. And yet after I went to bed, there came not a voice, but there came something, brethren. I don't know what it was to describe it, but it says there came something that has been with me, stayed with me, and is the very foundation, the very evidence of God's mercy to a poor sinner. And it is because of these things that I must declare unto you that salvation is by the grace of God.